with all you need to know. Welcome to Sunrise Carolina with Joey Hudson on News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.
Continuing today's edition of Sunrise Carolina, there's lots of ways for you to join the conversation. You can text me on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Text or call, one number does it all, 800-905-0989. Leave me a message on the MyPillow message line, 864-477-JOEY. That's 864-477-5639. Always use promo code JOEY when you place your order at MyPillow.com. Of course, your emails are always welcome. Joey at joeyhudson.com. And if you missed parts of today's show, just catch it on the podcast. Search for Joey Hudson, Just the Truth on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure and check out my website at joeyhudson.com. While you're there, join my mailing list. Just click on the Connect with Joey button. As we continue this special remembrance of Senator Lindsey Graham, you know, it's impossible to really understand Senator Graham without understanding his years in the uniform, which he is very proud of. For many Americans, Senator Lindsey Graham was known as just that, as being a leader in the U.S. Senate. He rarely shied away from discussing America's role in the world, whether it was Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Ukraine, Israel, or the broader fight against terrorism. Graham consistently argued that American leadership on the world stage was essential. And I think it's fair to say that those views weren't just political talking points. They were shaped to a degree by Lindsey Graham's decades of military service. Long before he became a household name in Washington, Lindsey Graham was wearing the uniform of the United States Air Force. A lot of people just forget about that part of his career. He earned his law degree from the University of South Carolina Law School in 1981. He entered the Air Force through the Judge Advocate General's Corps, better known as the JAG Corps. Instead of serving as a combat pilot or infantry officer, Lindsey Graham served as a military attorney. But make no mistake, military lawyers are an essential part of the armed forces. They prosecute crimes, they defend service members, they advise commanders, oversee military justice, and provide legal guidance during wartime operations. For Graham, the military wasn't simply another career stop. It became a lifelong commitment for him. He served in active duty from 1982 until 1988, stationed at several locations where he handled military justice cases and advised commanders on legal matters. Those who worked with Graham describe him as meticulous, disciplined, and deeply committed to the rule of law. And you saw that in later years when he became an elected official. After he left active duty, he didn't leave the military. Instead, he joined the Air Force Reserve. And that decision, some say, defined much of the next three decades of Lindsey Graham's life. Unlike many elected officials whose military service ended before politics began, Graham continued serving while also holding public office. He balanced congressional responsibilities with reserve duty, something relatively few members of Congress have done over such a long period of time. His military career eventually took him into some of the most dangerous regions in the world. Following the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001, as we all remember and know, America entered a new era. Congress authorized military action against Al-Qaeda and later Iraq. And as a reserve officer, Lindsey Graham deployed overseas multiple times. According to his biography, he served in Afghanistan. He served in Iraq. He also spent time supporting operations in other parts of the Middle East. While deployed, Lindsey Graham wasn't making speeches on the Senate floor. He was working alongside commanders and military personnel, providing legal counsel in some operational environments. And again, at times putting himself in harm's way, as military members often do. He spoke about sitting down with young soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, listening to their concerns, hearing about their families. The United States military had a friend in Lindsey Graham in the U.S. House while he served there, and then later over these past few decades in the U.S. Senate. Because many times he has talked about how his military service has had a profound impact and effect on him and how he served the people in the U.S. Congress. Senator Graham frequently said that decisions made in Washington carry real consequences for the men and women, women serving overseas. That belief stayed with him throughout his Senate career. It also explains why he became one of Congress's strongest advocates for maintaining a capable, well-funded military. Some people were critical of that. Some people thought that Lindsey Graham was too quick to jump to take military action. But Graham consistently argued that America's enemies watch for signs and weaknesses, and we needed to show strength or they would try to take advantage. He believed deterrence prevented wars. He believed that anytime we had a conflict, we needed to address it through strength. Peace through strength, just like Ronald Reagan. And Senator Graham maintained that if the U.S. committed troops to battle, it had a responsibility to provide them with every possible advantage, give them the tools they needed to be successful. His views often align with the traditional Reagan philosophy, again, of the peace through strength. Now, people who were critical of Graham accused him of being too willing to support military intervention overseas. They thought that he was just too anxious to get into war or go to war. Supporters argued that his firsthand experience gave him credibility that a lot of politicians never had because they had never served in a uniform like he had. Whether you talked about ISIS, Iran, Russia, China, Senator Graham almost always framed the conversation through the lens of national security. That perspective wasn't something that he learned about in a classroom. It came from years of wearing the uniform and years of actually sitting down and talking with men and women who are currently wearing that uniform. And throughout his military career, people have said that Graham continued to receive promotions, but he ultimately attained the rank of colonel in the United States Air Force Reserve. But he always, according to people who served with him, was always just remained that boy from Central South Carolina. That he never got bigger than his boots, basically. In 2015, after more than 30 years in uniform, Colonel Lindsey Graham retired from military service. It marked the end of what has been documented as a remarkable military career that again paralleled nearly his entire political life. Even after retirement, Graham remained deeply connected. He became one of Capitol Hill's strongest advocates for increasing military readiness, modernizing America's defense capabilities, and improving veterans' health care. He was a big, if a veteran contacted his office, Lindsey Graham had a staff who worked very hard to try to help those veterans, to try to make sure that they got what they needed. He was a consistent supporter of military families. He often reminded audiences that service isn't limited to those wearing the uniform, that spouses, children, parents also bear tremendous sacrifices. And throughout his Senate career, Senator Graham regularly visited military installations, Shaw Air Force Base, Joint Base Charleston, Fort Jackson, Marine Corps recruit depots on Parris Island, Marine Corps Air Station in Beaufort. Again, you can't say too much about the support that Lindsey Graham had for our military, and he'll be long remembered for that support.
The latest news and weather to jumpstart your day. This is Sunrise Carolina with Joey Hudson on News Talk 98.9.
WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.
With all you need to know. Welcome to Sunrise Carolina with Joey Hudson on News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.
So we've talked a bit about Lindsey Graham's early life, his childhood, what kind of shaped his political career. We talked about his military service. Now let's talk about how he became one of the best known politicians in America. His remarkable political career. And again, whether you liked him or not, and he just came through a hard-fought primary where some people would very quickly tell you, anybody but Lindsey. I just can't vote for Lindsey Graham again. He easily won re-election, defeated Mark Lynch and the other names on the ballot very easily. Won it on the first ballot, no runoff. So I think we can all agree that Lindsey Graham was a successful politician. It was a journey, again, that began in Central South Carolina. He joked about how he never planned to become a career politician, but public service just really seemed to find him. Senator Tim Scott on this week on ABC paid tribute to that service.
I don't know another person who spent his entire adult life for one purpose, to make sure America remained the safest country on the planet to live.
And that goes back to his love of the military and his belief that we are all safer when the United States is perceived as being strong. So how did Lindsey Graham get to the United States Senate? He was first elected in office in 1992 when he was elected to serve in the South Carolina House of Representatives. At the time, South Carolina politics looked very different than what it does now. Democrats had tremendous power throughout the state. They had a majority in the state house, in the state senate. Republicans were growing. During that period of time, I was involved in Republican politics. I'd been chairman of the Greenville Republican Party, and it was hard. We had to just go out and recruit people to run for office at the time. Graham quickly established a reputation as someone who was, as some of his colleagues in the South Carolina House said, he was well prepared. He is willing to debate anybody and was unafraid to challenge conventional thinking. He served 4 years in the state house, focusing on criminal justice, government reform, and fiscal responsibility. Those years, we're told, gave him valuable experience and introduced him to a lot of political leaders around the state. That's where he started developing some of his political connections. In 1994, Republicans swept into a very powerful nationwide time in what became known as the Republican Revolution. You may remember that. It was led by Newt Gingrich. His contract with America, Newt Gingrich became Speaker of the House. They captured control of the U.S. House of Representatives for the first time in 40 years. Lindsey Graham was part of that. South Carolina was part of that political wave. Lindsey Graham successfully ran for Congress from the 3rd Congressional District, which covers much of the upstate and western South Carolina, down to Greenwood, Abbeville, Lawrence, through that area, back up to Pickens and Oconee. Graham spent the next 10 years in the U.S. House of Representatives. Those years transformed him from a young South Carolina legislator into what he was becoming known as a nationally recognized conservative voice. That's when it began. One of Graham's defining moments came during the impeachment of President Bill Clinton. You may remember this. As a member of the House Judiciary Committee, since Graham was an attorney, a JAG officer, he was a natural for the Judiciary Committee, like he has served on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and was set to lead the Senate Judiciary Committee had he been reelected in November again. But Graham served as one of the House managers prosecuting the impeachment case before the U.S. Senate of Bill Clinton. Lindsey Graham kind of became known as a national person, a national figure then. He argued that the Constitution required accountability, that no one, even the President of the United States, was above the law. The impeachment proceedings just put Graham in the national spotlight. Television viewers across America began recognizing the congressman from the 3rd Congressional District in South Carolina. Now, President Clinton was ultimately acquitted by the Senate. Graham emerged, though, with a reputation as a skilled constitutional lawyer and a very effective communicator. That's when the nation was kind of introduced to this Southern guy from South Carolina. Then, in the early 2000s, another opportunity came about. South Carolina Senator Fritz Hollings, who had been a longtime Democrat, announced that he would retire after 4 decades in the U.S. Senate. It would become one of the most significant Senate races in South Carolina history. 2002, Lindsey Graham won the Republican nomination before defeating Democrat Superintendent of Education Alex Sanders in the general election. He was 47 years old. He became South Carolina's newest United States Senator. Few could have imagined that he would remain there for nearly a quarter of a century. During his first Senate term, Senator Graham quickly established himself as a very influential voice, again, on defense and judicial issues, just like he had in the U.S. House. His legal background made him a natural for the Senate Judiciary Committee. His military service gave him credibility on the Armed Service Committee, which he loved serving on the Armed Services Committee. And again, those two assignments would pretty much define Lindsey Graham as a United States Senator. Over the years, he questioned Supreme Court nominees, FBI directors, attorneys general, military leaders, presidential cabinet officials. His questioning style became unmistakable. He was prepared. He was direct, occasionally humorous. He could be funny when he wanted to be. Sometimes confrontational. Lindsey Graham developed a reputation for asking questions that often produced memorable exchanges. One of the defining moments of his Senate career came during the 2018 confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Remember that? As Democrats and Republicans battled over allegations against Kavanaugh, Graham delivered an emotional defense that became one of the most talked about moments of the hearings. Looking directly at Democrat members of the committee, Graham declared, "This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics." He is very passionate. The speech instantly went viral. Conservatives praised Graham for standing forcefully behind Kavanaugh. President Donald Trump would later call it Lindsey Graham's finest moment in public life. Again, a lot of Americans who had never paid attention to Lindsey Graham paid attention to him then. That hearing cemented Graham's reputation among conservatives as a fierce defender of Republican judicial nominees. He loved that period of time. He was proud of the work he had done. And again, just a few weeks ago, in the last time that I interviewed Lindsey Graham, just prior to his win in the Republican nomination, he talked about the fact that he would be the chairman of judiciary again if the Senate maintained control in November. And he was ready to go. He is ready to start getting more conservative nominees to the bench from President Trump confirmed. He strongly supported the confirmations of Justices Neil Gorsuch, as I mentioned, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett. He viewed the courts as one of the most lasting legacies any president could leave behind, and he loved the role that he played in that as a United States Senator. Again, these judicial issues brought Lindsey Graham widespread attention. National security, though, was one of his greatest passions. He became one of Congress's most outspoken voices regarding terrorism, China, Iran, Russia, and America's alliances all around the world. Whether speaking about military readiness, whether intelligence operations, foreign aid, Lindsey Graham rarely hesitated to explain exactly where he stood. Again, whether you agreed with it or not, he knew what he thought should be done. That willingness to speak candidly sometimes placed him at odds with members of both political parties, quite often with the President of the United States. He supported comprehensive immigration reform long before it became politically unpopular among Republicans. He occasionally worked with Democrat senators on bipartisan legislation that would sometimes get him in trouble with the conservative base. Some conservatives criticized him for those efforts. Others appreciated his willingness to negotiate. And like most politicians with long careers, Lindsey Graham experienced periods of enormous popularity, and then he would have moments of just significant criticism of people just really being down on Lindsey Graham. And as I mentioned earlier, so many people during this present election cycle would say anybody but Lindsey. I can't tell you how many times that I have been involved with a political forum as a moderator asking the questions, and the room would be full of people whom I knew personally did not like Lindsey Graham. But before the end of the forum, he would have them literally eating out of his hand. He could turn you around in a minute on an issue that he was passionate about. And that was one of the things. Lindsey Graham never stopped engaging in the debate. He wasn't a senator who quietly cast votes. He was almost always part of that national conversation. In South Carolina, Graham continued winning election after election. He just won again just a few weeks ago. He was reelected in 2008, 2014, again in 2020, after defeating Democrat Jamie Harrison in what became one of the most expensive Senate races in American history. Millions of dollars poured into South Carolina as national political organizations viewed the race as one of the country's most important contests. They were not successful. They were set to do the same thing this year. And it's why it is important that in the coming days and weeks, as we learn who Governor McMaster appoints to succeed him, and as we see who enters the Republican primary to maintain that seat, that we get behind them and that we support them, because it's critical that Republicans maintain control of Lindsey Graham's seat in the U.S. Senate.
And views that relate to you. This is Sunrise Carolina with Joey Hudson on News Talk 98.9.
WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.
Early riser, the award-winning Tara Show is coming up at 6. Your first look at the day's events continue on Sunrise Carolina with Joey Hudson on News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.
Comments are welcome on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Text or call, one number does it all, 800-905-0989. Email's always welcome, joey@joeyhudson.com. When it comes to choices, the Ingles Grocery Department really stands out because they believe your shopping experience should offer easy to navigate wide aisles, great prices, and of course, lots of choices, a selection that brings you the products you need and want. For example, Ingles has thousands of organics at prices that will surprise you. Take a tour around the world in their international section, and their specialty and gourmet items will make foodies out of everyone. Ingles carries gluten-free choices that other supermarkets do not. They carry the newest products alongside the brands that you've always trusted. Another example is the professional cheese cutters for premium cheeses, largest gluten-free selection in the Southeast, and the largest craft beer collection you're going to find. And what about Ingles Curbside? Easy to order through the Curbside app. Actual dedicated Ingles employees selecting your order. They're trained to select your items as if they were shopping for themselves. And your order is delivered to your vehicle and loaded. Shop like you were in the store without ever leaving the comfort and safety of your car. Expect more from your local store. Ingles, low prices, love the savings. As we remember Senator Lindsey Graham, one of the most fascinating chapters of his political career, and I think one of the most fascinating chapters in politics just in general, has been his relationship with President Donald Trump. It's a story that few political observers would have ever predicted. And you got to remember how it started, with sharp disagreements. It evolved into mutual respect over the years, but it was not a match made in heaven for sure. Ultimately, it became one of the closest political partnerships in modern Republican politics. But you got to look back during the 2016 Republican presidential primary. Lindsey Graham was one of Donald Trump's most vocal critics. He questioned Trump's temperament. He challenged many of his campaign statements. You remember the time that Donald Trump famously read Graham's personal cell phone number during a campaign rally after Graham criticized him publicly? Remember that? The two exchanged insults that dominated political headlines. Well, like many Republicans at the time, Lindsey Graham wondered whether Trump could win a general election or effectively govern if he did. There was also the time when Donald Trump was very critical of Lindsey Graham's best friend in the U.S. Senate, Senator John McCain. When Senator Graham went on national news and called Trump a jackass.
That he's a jackass.
Really?
That he's bringing his name down and he's not helping the process and he shouldn't be commander-in-chief. If you want to be commander-in-chief of the armed forces, you need to understand that John McCain and all like him, not just John, are truly American heroes. And then when you put yourself in harm's way, that makes you a hero. But you know what I think is makes you a hero? When you're the spouse raising kids when your loved one's deployed. I've been in the military for 33 years. It truly is a team and a family. Mm-hmm. So what he said about John, I think, was offensive. He's becoming a jackass at a time when we need to have a serious debate about the future of the party and the country. We're on the verge of giving an Iranian Ayatollah, who's a radical jihadist, a pathway to a nuclear bomb, The world is literally falling apart. We're becoming Greece here at home. And all we're talking about is Donald Trump and everybody he insults. But he's crossed the line here. There may be some frustration with our border. I get that. That's no justification for slandering on it.
Huh? What's the line he crossed?
Saying that John McCain and people like him are not American heroes. The American people will not tolerate what he is doing now regarding those who have served. This is a line he's crossed, and this is the beginning of the end of Donald Trump.
Well, not exactly, because Donald Trump went on to win in 2016. But something happened then, because yes, Donald Trump did win. And Lindsey Graham, perhaps more than anyone in Washington, recognized that the Republican Party was changing. Instead of remaining an opponent, Lindsey Graham made a deliberate decision. He would work with the president wherever he could and wherever they agreed. Over time, the two men developed what is an unexpected close friendship. They played golf together. They speak frequently on the phone, according to reports. They often appeared together at political events. President Trump came to value Lindsey Graham's advice on judicial appointments, military affairs, and foreign policy. And, of course, upon learning of Lindsey Graham's death, the president was one of the first to speak up about his friend, Senator Lindsey Graham.
He sounded a little tired, but a little bit tired. We thought maybe we might even meet today. And then that was it. And that was, you know, very around the time. It couldn't have been much longer. I don't know, it could have been his last call. I don't know exactly. But I got a message about 1 o'clock in the morning from one of the people at his office that he had passed away. I said, "You got it. I just can't believe it." He was like a member of the family to me. It's very tough, actually.
President Trump talking about his last conversation with Senator Graham. You know, Graham became one of Trump's most dependable defenders during some of the most turbulent years of President Trump's term. One of the turning points came during the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, as we mentioned back in 2018. And as we discussed in previous segments, Graham's emotional defense of Kavanaugh electrified conservatives across the country and earned a greater respect from Donald Trump. President Trump later said that Graham's performance during those hearings was his finest moment in public life. It also strengthened the relationship between the two men from that point forward. Graham became one of the president's closest allies in the U.S. Senate. During President Trump's first administration, Graham strongly supported efforts to reshape the federal judiciary. He championed the confirmations of other Supreme Court justices, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett. He believed those appointments would influence American law for generations, and they will. He also stood behind President Trump during both impeachment proceedings. When many Republicans found themselves navigating difficult political waters, Lindsey Graham rarely wavered in his support of Donald Trump. He defended the president publicly, repeatedly argued that history would judge Trump's accomplishments more favorably than his critics believed. And when President Trump returned to office in January 2025, Lindsey Graham once again became one of the administration's most trusted congressional allies, and has been so and was so until the day he died on Saturday. His influence extended far beyond South Carolina. Foreign leaders often viewed Lindsey Graham as someone who understood the president's thinking. His advice carried weight in Washington, at the Pentagon, and among America's allies overseas. He was in Ukraine just last week. He often talked with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. Throughout his Senate career, Graham maintained one consistent belief. America, he argued, must lead on the world stage, whether discussing Israel, Iran, Ukraine, NATO, or the growing challenge posed by China. Lindsey Graham believed American strength prevented larger conflicts. Some disagreed with that, but he is steadfast in that. And a lot of that, again, his military background influenced his thinking. Just days before his death, again, he was still doing that work with Ukraine leaders. So again, South Carolina is going to miss the influence, the seniority that Lindsey Graham had. And as someone who covered Lindsey Graham's career for many years. I've interviewed him. I've talked with him many times, whether he was speaking to a room of four or five people in a small town civic club or appearing on national television before millions. Lindsey Graham was always prepared. He showed up, he answered questions, he defended his convictions. He understood that elected officials owe the public an explanation for the decisions they make, again, whether you like them or not. That commitment earned him respect from supporters and opponents alike. Senator Lindsey Graham was many things. Again, a lawyer, Air Force colonel, a congressman, a senator, a confidant to president, and one of South Carolina's most consequential political figures that we will know. That's it for today's show. Tara's up next, followed by Mike Gallagher, Bill Frady, Charlie James. We're back again tomorrow at 5 a.m. and your first cup of coffee on Sunrise Carolina. Until then, folks, remember, God's got this. He's still in control.
Your beacon of information as you greet the dawn. It's Sunrise Carolina with your host, Joey Hudson, on News Talk 98.9.
WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is.
Good morning and welcome to Sunrise Carolina with Joey Hudson.
Today it's my pleasure to welcome Joey.
Your beacon of information as you greet the dawn. Grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's dive into the day on News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas. Here's Joey.
Welcome in to this special Monday edition. South Carolina is saying goodbye to one of our most influential political figures in the state's history. For more than three decades, Lindsey Graham was a constant presence on the national stage. Whether you agreed with him or disagreed with him, there was never any question that Lindsey Graham loved South Carolina. He loved the U.S., he loved the military, and he believed deeply in serving his country. Following news of his death at the age of 71 over the weekend, after what his office described as a brief and sudden illness, tributes have poured in from across America, from political allies and opponents alike, from military leaders, from President Donald Trump, of course, who called Senator Graham a trusted friend and one of the strongest voices for America first principles and a strong national defense. Today, we'll begin with Lindsey Graham's remarkable personal journey from growing up in the small town of Central South Carolina, working in his family's business, to the loss of his parents and the responsibility of helping raise his younger sister. Then we'll examine his distinguished military career, his political career, his rise through South Carolina politics from the State House to the U.S. House of Representatives and then to the U.S. Senate. And finally, we'll explore one of the most fascinating political relationships in modern American history, how Lindsey Graham went from being one of Donald Trump's toughest Republican critics during the 2016 campaign to becoming one of the president's closest allies and trusted advisors. We'll also reflect on the legacy that Lindsey Graham leaves behind. It's a busy one, so let's get started. It started with a news break alert from Fox News as we learn about the death of Senator Lindsey Graham.
We are continuing to follow breaking news here at Live Now from Fox. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has died. That's according to a statement that was released on his social media platform on X. So take a look at this. So the statement says that the office of U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina releasing the following statement, quote, on the evening of Saturday, July 11th, U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham passed away from a brief and sudden illness. Senator Graham's family appreciates prayers at this time and asks for privacy during this incredibly difficult period. I want to bring up here some footage of the late senator. Now, this is a developing story at this time, so we're working to get some more information. It's just come down a few minutes ago. I want to read off some of this reporting courtesy of the Washington Post, who is also following this closely, saying that Graham, who was first elected to the House in 1994, and the Senate in 2002, was running for re-election this year. He had been a staunch ally of President Trump on most matters, but had broken with the president on some issues, such as foreign policy. They are also quoting President Trump in something that he had to say for a tele-rally for Graham last month, where he acknowledged that the two men had dueled for the 2016 Republican presidential nomination. But we are trying to track more information. Again, a brief and sudden illness is all we know so far, based off that social media post on his platform on X.
And that's what most of us woke up to on Sunday morning, was the news that Senator Graham, at the age of 71, had died at what his office described as a brief and sudden illness. For more than three decades, Lindsey Graham has represented South Carolina in Washington. He became one of the most influential Republicans in Congress, a leading voice on national security, a fixture on Sunday morning news programs, and one of the closest congressional allies of President Donald Trump during the president's second administration. His passing marks the end of just an extraordinary political career. It stretched from the small town of Central South Carolina all the way to the highest levels of American government and foreign governments as well. We're told he had just returned from a trip to Ukraine just on Friday. So over the next few minutes on today's show, we're going to look back at the life of Senator Graham, his personal story, his military service, his years in South Carolina politics, his career in the United States Senate, and the legacy that he leaves behind. So let's just start with the fact that Lindsey Graham wasn't born into privilege or political connections. His parents owned a restaurant and pool hall that he talked about quite a bit in Central South Carolina. Like many family-owned businesses, everyone had to pitch in. Lindsey started working at a very young age. Years later, he would often say that those early experiences taught him about hard work, personal responsibility, and treating people with respect, regardless of who they are. Those lessons would stay with him throughout his life. Tragedy struck the Graham family while Lindsey was a young man. His mother died of cancer just 15 months later. His father passed away. And in the span of little more than a year, Lindsey Graham had lost both parents, and he had a younger sister. He was in his early 20s. And he's told the story. I've heard him tell it many times of simply how he focused on college, beginning his own career. He suddenly found himself helping raise his younger sister, Darlene. Friends often said that those difficult years profoundly shaped Lindsey Graham's character. He didn't shy away from the responsibility, though. He became very independent. He developed an intense sense of duty during this period of time. And most importantly, he understood that life can change in an instant. That perspective would later influence the way that he approached politics and public service. And despite the enormous personal challenges that Graham faced as a young man, he continued his education. He graduated from the University of South Carolina in 1977. He entered law school at the University of South Carolina in 1981. Those who knew him during those years describe someone who was ambitious. He was disciplined, they say, and he was deeply interested in public service, public affairs, politics. And unlike many politicians, Graham didn't come, again, from a political family. This was something out of the ordinary for this young man from Central. He wasn't handed a network of donors or party leaders. His rise came through his education that he worked hard for, his military service, which is very important to him, and just hard work. One of the questions people have often asked over the years is why Lindsey Graham never married. I've asked him that question myself in many interviews over the years. He was asked countless times. His answer was pretty much the same every time. He would usually smile. He would joke about it, saying he simply never met the right person. Instead, he often referred to the Senate as his family, described his sister and her children as among the most important people in his life. His bachelor lifestyle even became something of a trademark in Washington. Late-night comedians joked about it. Political reporters asked about it. But those close to Senator Graham often said his devotion to public service left little room for anything else. He was married to the people of South Carolina. Lindsey Graham was dedicated to doing a good job, whether it was when he started his career in the State House, he went on to the U.S. Congress, served there for about a decade, and for the last couple of decades, he, of course, has served in the U.S. Senate. And he's known. You can listen to interviews. He was known by his colleagues as someone who worked very long hours. He maintained strong relationships with people from all around the country, all around the world. I mean, some of the tributes that we saw over the weekend, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was one of the first to talk about what a loss for the world Lindsey Graham's death will be. And look, even people who disagreed with him politically often talked about how he would answer questions directly and wasn't afraid to defend his positions. Again, I've interviewed him a number of times over the years. Lindsey Graham, unlike some politicians, was never afraid to come on talk radio. He is always ready to answer a question. It may not be the answer that I wanted or listeners wanted, but he did not mind telling you what he thought about an issue. Even Joe Biden, over the weekend in releasing a statement, talked about his years of serving in the U.S. Senate with Lindsey Graham. They fought. Lindsey Graham was very critical of Joe Biden while he was president, but the thing they shared in common was both of their desires to serve the public, to serve the American people. They just had different ways and different ideas of how that should be accomplished.
Have you been wondering if now's a good time to look at a new home? Joey Hudson here. When you partner with America's Home Place, there's never a bad time to build the home of your dreams. Home sale prices have gone up, and with the high mortgage rates we have now, building your own home might be your best option. And that's where my friends at America's Home Place comes in. America's Home Place can design and build the home of your dreams. As a one-stop shop for new home builds, they've partnered with favorable lenders to get you the rates and the terms that you need. It's just a more convenient option compared to waiting and hoping that the perfect house becomes available at a price you like. Instead, America's Home Place can help you design and build the perfect home just for you. As a turnkey home building provider, they can help you every step of the way, from the initial design all the way through the construction of your new home. It makes the process as simple and straightforward as possible. You can find America's Home Place on Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and connect with them online at americashomeplace.com. That's americashomeplace.com. America's Home Place, there's no bad time to build your new dream home.
It's all you need to know. This is Sunrise Carolina with Joey Hudson on News Talk 98.9.
WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.